Welcome back to the Tap Room exclusive. I am here at Catawba Island Brewing Company with Lou, Matt, and Mike. We are now getting into the Hot Blonde. It's a mango habanero
beer.
What went into this beer other than mangoes and habaneros?
So this beer is it's got an interesting history. So it started off as the Hoppin' Mango Habanero Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And I had it nailed home brewing it, and I could brew it really consistently. We got it up to our little system, up to our pilot system. We did it pretty good, but it wasn't quite right. We had the Hefeweizen ale yeast, the banana and clove flavors kind of fighting to be the first thing you tasted before the mango, and it didn't work out. It was either too much of the banana clove flavors, mm-hmm. It was too much of the mango and habanero, mostly just mango. So we already had a really good blonde that our old head brewer said, well, you've got this flavor figured out, let's try it with a blonde. And just kind of an aha moment. Well, duh, yeah, that's a great idea. And so we tried it the first time. It was great. We made a couple tweaks to it, and it's been the same ever since.
Now, I know some people might hear habanero and go, oh, but it's not a heat beer.
Right, right. It's more of a perpetual thirst machine. You know, you take the drink, and one thing we've worked really hard on is making sure that you don't get the heat till the end. Mm-hmm. I want the mango to come out first and the heat and the finish. So we've tried a lot of different ways of heating it, and we settled on one that works, that really keeps it for the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that mango, you get that already kind of citrusy blonde ale, and then it finishes, you get that.
That's what I was going to say. It's on the tickle on the throat.
Right.
It's not on your tongue. It doesn't hit there where it washes out flavor or anything like that. It's just a nice coating on the throat to give it that.
The first three sips or so, it kind of builds and then it stays right there.
I love that about these.
So then what do
beers.
You do with that? You got to take another sip
until
you wash
going.
It down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back to that perpetual thirst machine.
Making something like this is probably, I assume, I can't make beer. I applaud you guys that can. Like, I've tried it before. It didn't turn out great, as of course, but going into something like this, adding the mango and the habanero, doing the balance on this, that's got to be really tough to handle the all those different flavors. What were some challenges that you had outside of maybe switching it from the Hefeweizen over?
Everything. When you get into flavors like this, you know, we had to try different ways of getting the mango flavor out, how getting it into the beer. We had to try different ways of getting the heat to it. And then, you know, we found early on that we needed to play with the pH of this a little bit to get the flavors to really come out a lot better. Just a small change just will really change it when you got these kind of flavors messing around in there. Beyond that, I mean, it's
making enough of it in the summer.
Yeah, that's the biggest part, is making enough of it.
Yeah.
You know,
this is a really popular beer for you guys. This flies off the shelf.
Right.
Or out of the tap.
Yeah. The craft brand manager from our distributor in Toledo area calls us Hot Blonde Brewing Company in the summer. it's great. It's got a good following. A lot of people really love it, and a lot of people get really excited when it comes back out. I still really enjoy it. It's something that I'll have throughout the summer.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be exciting to know that people flock to this beer as much as they do. You know, that it's as popular. I did the thumb pun. we are up here by the lake. I had to use bird terms.
Right.
Our shirt's up there. Join the flock.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Awesome. I didn't even notice that. Wow, this is going on multiple levels.
Yeah,
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal, that's our bird on top of the...
That's awesome.
On top of the pylons there.
But no, like, yeah, like I said, it's amazing to see the community, you know, come around a beer and make it, you know, as popular as it is. Did you expect anything like this when you guys, you know, made it? I mean, obviously you want a successful beer and that was your plan, but did you ever think that it was going to get to like the levels that it's gotten to?
You know, yes, but only because of blind confidence. You know, when we knew we made good products, we knew we made good beers, we knew that we could get a real good following out of it, and this one we were able to, it really came through, you know. So you know, everything that comes, not everything, but most things that come out of there, I convince myself once they're good that they're gold, and they can go as far as they need to. So but honestly, yeah, I mean, it was a real surprise that this worked out so well and that so many people loved it. So we're happy for it, and we're not taking it for granted.
No,
for sure.
Absolutely. It I love that a lot of places are mixing with, playing with peppers in their recipes. It seems to be a trend of sorts with a lot of breweries now, and it's really cool to see different flavors come through beers, because it, you know, everybody thinks, you know, beer's this. It's
right.
Da, 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 da. And it can be whatever you want it to be.
And it's really nice to see, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of other pepper beers you would hear about or taste, they were so strong. They were hot. You had to dare people to drink it. And now a lot of breweries have found ways to really tone down the pepper, the heat, and just use it as part of the beer, not the only calling card the beer has.
Mm-hmm. So let's break down a little bit more of the flavors in this. Like you said, you get more mango on the front. You get the heat in the back. What else is coming through? I'm still trying to build my palate to where I can get, you know, into the fine details of things. I'm not quite there. What else are you picking up on?
So it's very citrusy. As Mike was saying, as soon as we started to lower the mash pH by adding, it's called an acidulated malt,
okay,
which is just a malt that has a bunch of lactic acid to it. Mm-hmm. That really pops out our citrusy hops and that mango too. It really just kind of draws it out in the forefront. And,
yeah.
It's just slightly tart, but that goes with everything else. Everything else is kind of in the forefront, but because it's almost like the drummer of a band, like it's a very essential part, that tartness, but it's just showcasing everything else, really. Yeah. It's keeping the beat.
Well, it's very well balanced there, and it's super complex too. That's what I like about a lot of craft beers is they're the balance between balance and complexity. Is you can get something that's totally well balanced, but just has so much flavor going on in that. I give you guys kudos to making this stuff. It's a true art mix between art and science.
Absolutely.
That I think you guys are doing a very great job at.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. I say that all the time. It's brewing is finding the right balance between art and science. You know, too much science, you get, dare I say, Bud Light.
Yeah.
You know? Too much art, you dump it.
Right. And I don't know, did you guys see there was some story about biologists who brewed a hoppy beer without hops? They went into a brew, they created their own brewer's strain, and they transplanted genes from like basil or mint or something. I can't remember the exact plant. Yeah. Basil, I think, was one of them, and maybe rosemary or something.
Yeah, that
and
was
it mimics,
a couple months ago. Yeah, a couple months ago.
And it mimics the hoppy flavor of beer without hops. The hops are put in the beginning to give it the bitterness.
Right.
But outside of that, there were no hops used in the brew. And they gave both batches, a regularly brewed batch of like an IPA, and this batch to Lagunitas for a blind taste test.
Yeah. Huh.
And Lagunitas said the scientific one was hoppier.
So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of develops from that.
Yeah.
Different strains are going to have like those different flavors, because we're already getting strains that have just a wide variety of different flavors and aromas that they, I mean, there's dozens, there's hundreds.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for a yeast strain to be able to mimic something like that, I think that's really, I mean, especially the IPA game has constantly been ever evolving. Mm-hmm. It was the IBU wars, and,
right?
And now it's a very juicy, you know, citrusy kind of stuff, and it's going to be hazy. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the yeast strain is really going to do to kind of change that game up a little bit. I mean, the IPA is the all-American beer style.
Oh, 100%,
It's America, I mean, through and through. So it's going to be cool to see what a lot of brewers are going to be doing with it.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's the science behind it. You know, we were talking about the science. It's incredible what we can do at a microscopic level, or what you guys can even do at a microscopic level to change the flavor of something and to add new things. It's incredible what we can do with science. But then at the same time, there has to be an art to using that strain.
Right. And if you look at wine, you know, there's so many different flavors in wine. There's so much they've figured out over the last, I don't know, however many thousand years we've been making wine. And to see that same effort, that same art form put towards beer, it's changed everything in the last few years. You know, the different strains of hops and yeast that have been available have gone off the charts. There's, you know, we can change how we grow our barley. Mm-hmm. We can use rice, corn if you really have to. You can use the wheat. You can use rye. You can use sorghum. And just there's so many variables in brewing beer right now, so it's so neat to see how fast it's changing and, you know, what is it going to be like in a year? What's going to be like in 10 years? I can't tell you.
It's a game to figure that out.
Right,
you never know what's around the corner. I mean, did anybody think that the New England IPA thing would happen as big as it is? I mean, like, that's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what the next thing's going to be.
Right. Now sours are taking off.
Sours are taking off. They're huge.
You know, a couple of years ago, you couldn't sell a sour out of your tap room. Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you just ruined this batch. Tried to resell it, didn't you? You know?
And yeah.
Now, no.
Well, it's supposed to be that way.
People are starting to catch on to it.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, there's something for everybody. It used to be you kind of had, like, three or four different styles, and now the door's kicked wide open. There's stuff on for every person to try. If you want an IPA, there's an IPA for you. If you want something that's more on the sour side, there's stuff there for you too.
Right.
And you know, there's never enough beer. That's, you know, there can never be enough. It's always fun stuff to try.
That's right.
Keeps it interesting. Anything else you guys want to get out about the Mango Habanero?
So actually I always like to tell a story because as Mike was saying earlier, we're trying to figure out how to add the heat and to really make it play on your palate the way that we wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured out that we can make our own extract and out of our habaneros. So they're actually soaked in vodka.
Oh, wow.
For a period of a couple of weeks. Well, the thing is that you never really know how it's going to taste, how hot it's going to be. That's definitely those variables that you want to figure out before you go injecting it into the beer that you're about to keg. So we would have to taste it. The habanero vodka.
It's hot.
And I'd always pour like a half ounce for everybody. There's people that would not come to work if they knew that we were doing that. I didn't mind it so much because I had to. There's other people here, like the other brewer, Justin. He tends to like hotter things. And there's another guy who was here who did not like it at all. He had gotten sick on a few occasions.
Oh.
And
that's no good.
And I'd be fine with it. And almost every time I would get Justin to have another one just because he enjoyed that kind of heat. But I always like to tell that. That's always the untold story about where the heat came from.
The brew tour that you did. With the
job. Oh, yeah. So I also did a brew tour for it was probably about 30 people, and about half of them were a bachelor party that had come in.
Okay.
And they were already having a good time. They're already having a good time. And I was trying to do my tour. So that finished up. And after that, those guys kind of hung out and was asking questions about the hot blonde, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them about the heat. And of course, they were, you know, having a good time. They're like, well, can we try this?
Okay.
You know, this habanero vodka. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I had a bottle of my own that I had.
Your personal?
Yeah. It was my personal stuff because I like to cook with it and stuff like that, too.
Oh, that'd be good.
I had those soaking in there for quite a while. So it was very hot. And I pass it around and nobody would do it. And finally 15 minutes came by and I'm like, okay, here. And I grabbed the bottle. I put it up to my mouth. I put my tongue up to the end of it and made it look like I took a big swig.
Okay. Gotcha.
So another guy's like, well, he did it. So he grabbed the bottle. He took a big old swig and he did not care for that at all. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yep.
I love messing with people like that, man.
So needless to say, he was the only person who tried it. He got a good dose of it.
Oh, man, that's a story he's going to tell forever. Like, you won't believe what happened, guys. You never believe this vodka.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Well, Matt, Mike, Lou, thank you all for joining me. We have one more episode next week, and we will be back with that. And enjoy your week, guys. Have a good night.